Do drugs fuel creativity? Is an addled mind essential to making great music? Does sobriety cause creative impotence? What if Jimi Hendrix had suddenly decided to enter a 12-step program? Would RU experience have sucked? To answer these nagging questions, you have to take a look at rock's red-eyed history and examine both the music made under the dizzy spell of artificial chemistry and the sober work that followed. We'll do just that next on Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
That's right, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
Pretty good. Does that sound like Autorama or something in your headphones? Let's go racing.
Sunday! Autorama.
Well, it is Sunday.
It is Sunday when we drop this show.
Drop.
Yeah, we drop the show on Sundays.
That's a professional term.
It has nothing to do with the actual time anybody is listening to this. That's why when you're podcasting, it's always important to be very time neutral.
But it's always cool to say Sunday morning show.
Sunday morning show, because we used to have a Sunday morning show.
Did we?
Oh, no, we just dropped that on Sunday.
Oh, Big JD and Lippo in the Morning?
Well, that's what this is.
On radio. We pre-recorded still, but it actually aired on Sunday mornings.
Right? Was it Sunday mornings?
No, I don't know.
I think it was during the week.
Thursday mornings.
Thursdays, yeah. We had no choice in the matter.
Yeah.
When you're on someone else's radio station.
On someone else's dime.
Lack of dimes.
Speaking of dime, if anybody wants to send in any dimes, you can do so by PayPal at Big JD and Lippo at... No.
I was thinking...
We should get people...
thinking of a dime a weed.
Jesus.
Jesus, well, what we're talking about today. It's a drug drugs. Show, brother.
It's a drug show. Brother.
That's when you say dime, I think weed.
You say dime, I say 10 cents.
And if you have five of those, five dimes of weed?
I don't know anything about it.
2.5 ounces or 50 cent.
Okay. You have some of his music on the show today?
No 50 cent on him.
Does he do drugs, tunes. You think?
You know,
I'm
going
to go out on a limb and say, yeah. No?
Right now? I think he has people.
Now? He had people. What?
No, I think he has people that...
Stop him? Control him?
Just tell him, yeah, like...
You got to stop that.
You can
put that out.
Yeah, well, yeah, either you can be, you know, rich or whatever. There's some guys that you don't hear about them in their off time unless they're saying ridiculous stuff, as opposed to somebody like Lindsay Lohan or somebody, you know, they on their off time they're just making fools of themselves because they're drunk or whatever. Or
Paris Hilton.
Yeah, or they crash into a car, you know, and they got DUIs or whatever.
This is the show.
This is the show. Yes, it is.
We usually don't get onto our topic this fast, but is anything else going on? I know you went camping. That must
well,
have been
it's,
cool.
As
hung out with Ken Ray.
Yes, we did. But you're saying, is anything happening? We're recording this on July the 23rd. Thursday before the Sunday, you get to hear that, and it's Big JD's birthday.
No, born in 1994.
What?
Lippo threw me a party.
Yeah, strippers and cake and candles.
And you can actually go to the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page and see some video from that party.
Well, is that where that's going to be at?
Yeah. Well, that's where it's going to be. Why wouldn't it be?
I don't know. I don't know what you plan on doing.
We're
going to
put a
it.
Clip up.
All right, I'm into it. Usually, you're not all that. Forthgoing with your own persona as far as video goes.
Oh, I don't mind.
Unless you're on stage and you're holding a Les Paul and you're singing Shotgun Mama or something.
Shotgun Mama, yeah. Remember those days?
That's the only tune I could think of. That's a wicked
I think that's when I met you. You came through Mad Dog and you came to the studio and did some backup vocals. I didn't know you before that, I don't think, did I?
I think I met you through Mad Dog, and then I think you just showed up at one of our gigs at California's back in the day, and I think you saw us, and you're like, hey, those guys are singing.
Oh, okay, they're doing harmonies, wow.
Well, we were yelling. And turns out the guy that you thought was doing harmonies, he's like the lead singer in two bands now. Three bands, really.
Three bands?
Yeah, Dan sings for King Friday, Tres Cojones, and the Tom Lockwood Band.
The guy I thought was doing harmonies, and he wasn't?
Well, we were doing harmonies. Yeah. I'm just saying you thought he was just a harmonies guy. I think it was, we had Kevin LaFrancois or Bobby Gouin singing for us back
I
want to
say
days.
It was a Kevin guy.
Kevin, yeah.
Yeah.
Talking about...
Tall, skinny guy, Chrysler's, whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure it was him.
Yeah,
I think Chrysler's.
But I think back then we were working at GM.
Okay,
Mad
yeah,
Dog.
Yeah. You were, yeah. Yeah. But Dan never came to the studio, did he? I don't think.
Dan went to the studio out in South Windsor there? Was it?
Well, that was at...
tell me where that was at so I know.
Jack Gennaro's studio.
Gennaro, that's
it. He had a nice basement studio.
Oof.
It was beautiful.
It was a real deal.
He was a real estate guy, so he had a nice house and a nice studio, nice gear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he knew his stuff.
But I didn't really like what they were doing out there. I mean, he particularly didn't really know that much, or at least at the time, you know. I mean, they hadn't had the studio very long, and he was working with Thompson, I forget his name, and he was kind of into doing, I want to say, religious music and stuff, a keyboard player, I can't remember, you know what
right.
I mean? So it wasn't really our bag, really, but he
had the space.
Was interested in recording our stuff.
Sure.
So it was cool.
You get something under your belt, and that's cool. He's not doing that still, is he?
I'd have no idea.
Probably not.
Maybe his kid. I mean, he's got kids that are growing up. I want to say that I saw something somewhere at some point in time where his kid was doing something in his studio, maybe, you know, maybe they're musicians now. Because Jack Gennaro was a musician forever, so... I mean, when he was younger or whatever, you know?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I think he played, like, with Palazzolos and stuff like that.
Sure. There was kind of like a...
I don't really know. Like, that was a little bit before I was doing everything. But I remember Business Week or In Business came and did an article on the studio, and I was... I don't think it was a recording. He asked me to come in because he was doing my sessions around that time.
Okay.
And I was in the back behind the window, you know, through the other room in one of the pictures that was in business.
Yep.
Yeah. It was kind of neat.
You probably have that issue somewhere in this
I do have it somewhere.
Building.
Yeah, it's PDF now.
PDF.
Yeah, so, everything's so, gone digital.
It's all scanned up. We're going to get into some news, but first we already told the folks that the show is on drugs.
Yeah.
And so
the
are
show's
we.
On drugs. No, we're not.
And we're back. We're going to give you some news, but you say we're not on drugs. You don't do any more drugs?
No.
Wow, I'm kind of bummed.
Well, it's been years, really. Except for the one cookie.
Cookies are good.
I seriously want to try CBD for my back and my shoulder.
All right, let's
supposed to be it's the chemical part of
marijuana
that doesn't contain THC. And
well, it's either THC or it's CBD,
right? Yeah,
so those are the two but it active
doesn't I guess what I mean to say is it doesn't contain the active ingredient that gets you high,
right? Exactly.
So it's only specifically for medicinal. Right. I want to try that.
Cannabinoids.
What? Oh, they used to call me that when cannabinoids? I was working in the fields.
Picking marijuana.
Yeah. Hey.
Noids for short.
Ooh, look at those noids. So what's happening in the world today besides late Slayer star Jeff Hanneman's guitars being auctioned?
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure he had hundreds of them.
I don't know.
How many some of these guys, like, they have like warehouses of guitars and they just constantly pick up new ones. I saw a show with Rick Nielsen, and he literally has a warehouse full of guitars.
Yeah. Well, he's like major collector type guy.
He is major collector guy. That's what I'm saying.
Crazy stuff.
Who else was like that? John Entwistle, before he passed away. He had literally a room I saw where they were up to the ceiling.
Yeah.
Like, crazy amount of gear they can
instrument maker ESP is assisting with the auction, and... he actually, you know, did you put alcohol into the drug?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, alcohol, it's addiction drugs, whatever you want to call it.
He died in 2013 of alcohol-related illness after spending the two preceding years off the road.
Yeah. He abused his body to the point where it...
it's too bad, man.
Wouldn't go on, that's for sure.
What a cool band.
Absolutely. I was listening to a interview with Jimmy Page. He was on the Toronto Rock Station, and he was talking about the latest deal they're doing with the last three albums of Led Zeppelin. And it's interesting that those, I know, were his heroin days. Mm-hmm. Presence, In Through the Outdoor, and Coda. Like, he produced all those albums still, but... it's interesting when he talks about him, how he doesn't actually mention, you know, the reason behind any of it, but that John Paul Jones was a big creative part in creating, In Through the Outdoor and Presence. I think Coda was just stuff that was left over.
Yeah, it was re-released. Unreleased, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas we're getting a lot of that with these companion discs that are coming with all the albums, all the re-released albums, which is kind of cool. And he's doing a little pre-release as well. Did you get a chance to listen to...
No.
No. I don't know if you're a big fan. I'm a huge Keith Richards fan. I love the Stones and everything, but Keith Richards previously released two albums in...
When he releases them, I check them out and whatnot. But, I mean, I've never been like a huge fan just of Keith Richards on his own, really.
Right.
Stuff's okay, but, I mean.
Yeah, he's relatively old. He's not he's no finger or fretboard wizard. That's
for sure.
Well,
his fingers are arthritic.
Yeah, and on the cover, he totally shows his arthritis.
You're really seeing that Alabama film about Fame Studio. He's in there talking.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you really see his stubby, arthritic hands.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, how does he even do anything?
How does he even play? Exactly.
Well, he doesn't play much, really. You know what I mean?
He doesn't do a lot of lead work, that's for sure. Yeah. And he uses a 5-string guitar that's tuned to an open deal anyway. So it's all just one finger down.
Does he need a finger?
It's all he needs is a finger. Maybe a pinky.
Smooth the capo around.
Yeah, exactly.
Sliding capo. That'd be something.
I don't know. I'm digging it. You got any news?
News? I gave you my news. Slayer.
that's your news.
That's it. I'm not going to slave and work so hard on my birthday.
There's also,
kidding.
In Toronto, there's the Pan Am Games are going on right now. And as this show is dropped, that's going to be the closing ceremony. And Kanye West, that is. Yeah, I know, eh?
Of all the flack that he takes and they get him to do these big things.
Well, people love him. Yeah, I try to understand.
Isn't he married to Kardashian?
Kim Kardashian, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's got a big butt.
I like big butts. I cannot lie. That was doing the moves. Sweet. Save it for the Green screen.
And I was reading this article in where it's Ultimate Classic Rock, and for a guy, David Crosby, who we're going to hear some of him in the show, actually, nice. Has accused of being dumb as a post. That's in quotes.
Oh, no, he's pretty smart, actually. He's done some pretty cool stuff.
He has been accused of that. Kanye West apparently has a pretty impressive vocabulary.
Kanye West?
Yeah.
He doesn't use it, though, does he, when he grabs the microphone away from everybody? Or does he? I never actually
I don't know. It, I think so. That just people in general nowadays that are exposed to more other people's opinions and are listening and reading more, I think that the English language is just becoming a bigger part of the way that we communicate and expanding it, actually.
Expanding it into single letter words. U for you and number two for two.
I just thought it was interesting that they took up Kanye's cause.
They should have had us up there.
They should have.
Why not? We're big celebrities.
And I tried to show off my vocabulary in the birthday party.
He did.
I forget exactly what I said, but
I don't know. He's right.
You'll have to check it out on the Big JD. The Big JD Lippo in the morning Facebook.
Whoa, page. Back up, Lippo. What is? We got to look that up.
At Lippo on Twitter.
And we're back.
And today we're going to be talking about drugs and rock and roll mostly.
Yeah, why rock and roll mostly? You think drugs were just as much an influence on music of other artists and other genres of music, like, you know, wild jazz stuff and the, you know, the some of the big black artists like Sly and the Family Stone type stuff and music, you know what I mean?
Like, for sure.
Gotta be.
Yeah, it was big. You went back to the jazz thing. I think in the 20s, which were known as the Roaring 20s, I think a lot of stuff was done that was never came to light, but a lot of stuff was swept under the covers more easily just because there wasn't a lot of outlet for people to let people know that so-and-so was, you know, caught snorting cocaine or this person was doing...
But also, like, smoking marijuana or something, that was legal until
30s.
Yeah.
It was legal, but it wasn't necessarily common. Like, I don't know that you would see, you know, musicians at the back of a room smoking a joint or anything like that in the 20s or even before that. I'm not sure how prominent it was or even how good it was, for that matter. Hmm. But as far as other stuff, like opium was big.
Yeah.
And cocaine, I'm not sure if heroin was even around. I think that was a later drug. And then there was prescription drugs back then. Mm-hmm. But then cocaine was legal too. Some version of cocaine was like was
Coca-Cola.
Yeah, it was in stuff.
Yeah. And why was it in stuff? Like, what was the point of putting in Coca-Cola?
It made you feel good. Yeah, stuff that you put in your mouth was supposed to, you know, it was either water or milk to wash stuff down.
So what makes people feel good now that you can take and it's legal? Oh, I'm going to eat this and I'm going to feel good. You're not even allowed to have anything like that.
No.
Why is that?
Because it's all regulated.
But alcohol does that.
That's really regulated.
Well, I know, but you can go to the bar and have alcohol. But you can't go to the bar and have...
But you got to go to the bar to have it.
Pot. Like, can you go to the bar and have pot?
Some. Not around here.
No, you can't.
Not around here. Like, well, no. You go to Amsterdam, go to a coffee shop, and you can smoke. And you can go to Washington State, and they have places where it's perfectly legal to buy.
Colorado.
Colorado's another place, yeah.
Hmm. We should go there. You have to have a card?
No card. It's just walk in, buy.
Can I get CBD?
You can get high.
I can't bring it home, though.
No.
That's the problem.
That is the problem. People actually, you talk about CBD, that's definitely is the ingredient in marijuana that helps a lot of kids with epileptic fits.
Mm-hmm. I read amazing things.
Yeah, it is. Like, they go from hundreds of episodes every day to none.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe one a week or one a month or something.
But if you don't have epileptic episodes and you take it, you start having them.
No, that's not true.
No, it's not. I hope it's not.
But yeah, you can go in and you can pick your strain of marijuana, whether you want it high THC or high CBD, high indica or high sativa. Most marijuana is a hybrid of both of those. So if you want an indica buzz.
What's the best? I don't want a buzz.
No, you don't want a buzz at all. Yeah. So CBD, I think mostly.
I think indica is the one, no?
Yeah. I think they use an indica strain to make the CBD plant or the CBD non-THC.
You can order it online, but you don't really know. I don't know how.
Order one online.
What, where you're getting or what you're getting. You know what I mean? Like, there's all kinds of places that'll sell it.
Sell you weed over the mail, like?
Yeah.
Well, you can't.
They're
do
allowed
that.
To up to a certain amount of. You know what I mean?
In Canada,
but I think it's no. I don't know if it's Canada. No, but they'll sell it from elsewhere
and ship it into Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, or you can go pick it up at your mailbox in Detroit.
I guess they're allowed to. No, then I got to bring it across the border.
Yeah, nothing's going to happen there.
Guns a-blazing.
Yeah, sometimes they have dogs.
Yeah, dogs. Yeah, they always have dogs out sniffing the cars. And we're going to listen to...
Oh, we're going to be playing some music today that has something to do with drugs. I have no idea where Big JD is going to be going with his music today.
I'm going to the drug train. Social Distortion.
So Social Distortion, what, tell me about that tune. What's it called?
Called Drug Train. It's from the Social Distortion album. Social Distortion's awesome.
I love Social Distortion. Great band.
Drug Train.
Beauty. So there's a lot of people who have wrecked their career, their family life, because they became famous, couldn't handle it, started taking drugs. But I was kind of interested in getting behind the reason that a lot of people start taking drugs once they become famous.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to talk about. One is that taking drugs once you become famous, and then there's the ones who take drugs before or during their career, and does that make them their creative self? And if they stop, or when they do stop, they don't produce the same kind of records and everything. So, but let's talk about that first. Is that when if they're not doing drugs beforehand, can't handle fame or whatever the case may be,
or get caught up in it?
Yeah,
I don't know if it's so much that way now, but based on a couple autobiographies that I've read, it seems like back in the day, just to be part of the scene, you were expected to partake, as it were. Having said that, I remember watching the Rush movie, though. Those guys didn't do any partying.
It's all in your makeup, man. I guess if you just don't want to do it, you just don't do it.
And they didn't get into the chicks either. So when they were touring with Kiss, which I don't think Kiss was really into the substance abuse thing either. Whereas Gene was heavy. Well, obviously, Peter Criss and Ace Frehley, I think they were both... into the booze anyway. I'm not sure if they got into anything heavier. Gene Simmons would recount how they would be on tour with Rush before either of them really broke huge, and they would go back to the room and say, hey, I got these 10 chicks here, and what are you guys doing? And there's Neil in on the bed. No, I just got a good book here. I just started reading.
That's because they're Canadians.
But literally, that's what it was. Neil Peart was reading books.
See if the Canadians want some chicks.
On tour. What do we listen to? That sounds like we got some acoustic guitar happening.
That's,
Dear Mr. Fantasy from Big Sugar.
Out of the-
and we'll be back.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
And we're back, yes. Dear Mr. Fantasy, that was... I'm pretty good friends with the saxophone player in Big Sugar. And the reason that they covered the tune... Well, first, the reason it was written by... Help me now!
Steve Winwood.
Steve Winwood is when Jimi Hendrix died. Mm-hmm. So it was Mr. Fantasy originally was Jimi Hendrix. It was, you know, he was kind of a larger-than-life guy who unfortunately died when he was 27 due to some kind of drug overdose. We're not exactly sure how that happened, but the reason Big Sugar recorded the song was they were somewhere touring, and somebody came up to Gordy, the singer in the band, and just told him that Kurt Cobain had just died. That day, the day that Kurt Cobain died, someone told him while Gordy was on stage, and the next song they played was Dear Mr. Fantasy, and they thought it went well enough that they recorded it on an EP that they called Dear MF, was the name of the EP. So there's a little backstory to that song.
And would people have taken the MF to be something else at first?
It could have.
When you first read it?
Mofo? Could be mofo, but obviously that song was on there. Interestingly enough, on the original version of Dear Mr. Fantasy, it would be Steve Winwood playing harmonica on there. And of course, you got the amazing Kelly Hoppe, who plays harmonica in Big Sugar, but they didn't put any harmonica on that version of it. I always thought that was kind of interesting.
So it's actually a song that he wouldn't have played on at all. He just wasn't on it. He didn't do anything on there?
Well, Kelly plays keys live.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, honks comps on specific chords and stuff.
So tell us about drug use later in a career and not being able to handle... what's not to handle, really? I mean, is it an escape, I guess, or something that takes the edge off of all the craziness that could go on with fame?
Well, a lot of
the schedule
guys,
and all that stuff.
I think a lot of these guys are artists first and foremost. So one thing, they're really bad at business, so they get ripped off usually.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is they're not necessarily socially adept.
Sure.
So you find out in a lot of artists, whether they're musicians or sculptors or painters or whatever, they spend a lot of time in seclusion creating their art. So that's really where they thrive and they're most creative. So when it comes to actually interacting with people, not so much. They're not very good at it. And then all of a sudden you're on a stage with, you know, thousands of people or whatever the case may be. It's kind of hard to, you know, put two and two together, especially when you're not on stage and people that are just adoring you and, you know, they want a piece of you, whatever, whether it's sexual or just they want to relate to you in some way. And these people can't relate because, like I say, they're artists first and foremost, and then they just can't cope with it. So what do? They either will drink or do something to fix the situation.
There's lots of artists and genres of music kind of that are heavily associated with drugs or getting high and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Like what's his name there? Marley.
Bob.
Bob. Starts with a B, ends with a B. You know what that is?
Oh.
It's Cheech and Chong.
Yes.
And then a lot of rap artists, like, I mean, Snoop Dogg and stuff. I mean, everything evolves around...
Weed.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny. Weed is, I think, in our lifetime, amazingly, weed's going to be just the same as...
It's going to be absolute. obsolete. We're going to be getting it digitally.
No, I think
Can you get high digitally?
Not yet. No. I think it's be like booze at some point, but like you say, Bob Marley, and that put him in a lifestyle for him, and for a lot of people it is a lifestyle, the marijuana lifestyle. That's just the way they are, and that goes back to what you're talking about as far as creativity, and does it make them better artists, do they create better work when they're high? I think for the most part those artists, that it does help them. It puts them. It helps them put them in a place where they are going to be.
Yeah, it induces that creative places, I think, you know, when they have thoughts that they might not normally have, and
right,
those kinds of things, especially hallucinogens and things like that. That would really induce some cool stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. And there's a lot of people who, once they're not on it, like, you know, they might have wrote some really good stuff before they even attempted to, you know, catch a buzz or whatever. And then they find that later on that they can't get that same result. And then they try to either, you know, do acid or cocaine or whatever it is.
Get it back.
And then they find they get it back. Like, hey, look at what I did while I was...
What about Clapton? And he quit everything and he did amazing work after.
You want to say he did amazing work?
After?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to say as amazing maybe as Cream or something like that, but he did a lot of hits and stuff.
A lot of hits. That was the thing. I think once he cleaned up, he came out with, you know...
And the big concerts and things that, you know what I mean? Like...
yeah, he was still successful.
Kind of clean to do all these... Yeah, success, I guess.
Yeah, it was success. It wasn't necessarily... He didn't write hardly any songs after he got off heroin. You know, he relied on... songwriters or people like were friends of his, like Bonnie and Delaney or JJ Cale.
The B.B. King thing with B.B. King. And,
yeah.
And what about, but that album was pretty big for him. Was it maybe his first one after or early on that Slow Hand? Was he done with all that stuff?
No, Slow Hand, he was pretty wasted. But okay, the album right after was the Ocean View album, which I have to admit that was a really good album. Probably one of my favorite. There's a tune on there called Mainline Florida, which talks about mainlining, obviously, and how he's not doing it anymore. But after that, I'm going to say not so much.
Yeah.
So I
guess I was just looking at the successes he's done after, been pretty good.
Yeah, I think he developed a certain amount of credit. I guess
being sober helped.
Being able to sustain the success.
Yeah.
Whereas he didn't have to.
What are there? There are other artists that you can think of that quit doing drugs, and well, Rolling Stones quit doing drugs. But they've not come out with anything that's...
No.
Everything that they've come out with is like either live or greatest hits thing for the most part.
Well,
but have they come out with a hit after?
Not, no. There's not too many hits after. But Keith Richards, you know, wrote, and Mick Jagger, they wrote tons of hits while he was high on drugs. So it's hard to say because they wrote a lot of great tunes before he was addicted and lots of great tunes once he was addicted.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's hard to say in that case, but Stevie Ray Vaughan comes to mind as far as what you're talking about. He, one of his best albums was definitely In Step, and that was the once he was clean. And a lot of people who he worked with described just this glow in his eyes and this new conviction that he had and the sound that he was after in the finished product. It was amazing, the album itself, but unfortunately he passed away in a helicopter crash. So it was, you know, it's interesting that he didn't kill himself by doing the drugs and stuff, because there's some amazing stories of longevity of him just being awake. Like, he wouldn't go to sleep for days and days and do shows, no problem. Just keep himself all stoned up and stuff.
Yep.
So he is one example of a guy who did clean up and probably came out with some of his best material as far as writing and singing goes. Everybody noticed that there was a new ingredient in his singing and a new fervor.
And now we're going to listen to Budgie from Squawk, Drugstore Woman. Yeah.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
Drugstore, I mean, that kind of reminds me of, we were just talking about the Stones, and Mick had to go fill a prescription at the drugstore.
Okay.
And who did he meet? His friend Jimmy.
Okay.
I wonder who Jimmy is. Probably his friend. Anyway, we're going to be listening to some Lynyrd Skynyrd now. This is a song about drugs. Lynyrd Skynyrd would tend to be all about the booze, but they didn't appreciate so much the drugs, and this song is an anti-drug song, basically. Smell that smell.
Smell of this around you. Oh, you're a fool, you.
And this is Steve Jones, ex-Sex Pistol.
Yep.
Does a radio show now somewhere out in L.A. or whatever, probably.
I think I've heard it or checked it out. It might be a podcast, if I'm not mistaken.
And this is something from his Mercy album. It's called Drugs Suck. Cool CD, too.
Drugs suck, and obviously Steve Jones knows that knows the effects of drugs. Did you see the movie Sid and Nancy?
I want to say I might have seen it in like way back. It's an old movie, right?
From
like,
yeah, it's what, an older 80s movie,
yeah. Or something.
Yeah, I want to say it was maybe right around the beginning of the 80s, in fact. And shows the demise of Sid Vicious and I forget Nancy's last name, but she was
Nancy Cunningham.
Nancy Cunningham, wasn't she?
No, I don't know.
Mrs. C's sister?
Yeah. Hey, Mr. C.
Richie's aunt? Aunt Nancy.
You got an Aunt Nancy?
No. No, I only had one aunt. Aunt Flo.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Florence?
Florence, yes. But we called her Flo.
The only Florence I knew was on the Jeffersons.
Okay, yeah.
Somebody's husband, somebody's wife.
There was Flo and Eddie.
Flo and Eddie?
Yeah.
Was that show on TV before? No, that's Malcolm and Eddie.
Flo and Eddie, that was...
I'm actually sending my new script to Eddie.
Eddie the what? Who's Eddie?
Eddie from Malcolm and Eddie.
I don't know what that is.
Starts tonight, man. Shopping to Hollywood.
Shopping Hollywood.
Yeah.
Are you going?
No.
JD's not going anywhere.
If I have to, I'm going to see if I can just Skype my interviews, my pitches.
Really?
Yes.
That's the way to go, I guess. Save some money, and you don't have to get on a plane.
That's right.
We're going to get on a plane sometime in our lifetime. You and I are going to get on a plane, and we're going to go somewhere.
Something. Or in a car.
No, on a plane.
We're going to go to New York for bagels.
New York for bagels, yeah. That's
on
the
way. On fly free day.
It's like about an hour on a plane.
Yeah. It's 15 hours a drive.
Like, I've been here for more than an hour.
Because I stop at Flying J on the way.
Why do you stop at Flying J's?
I hang out, coffee, look at CB radios.
CB radios?
CBs, man.
I don't understand.
You got a CB radio?
No, I don't.
Oh, they're awesome out in the highway.
Citizen Band radios.
Hey, Citizen Band live.
But I guess the place to go is Walmart's.
Walmart? Yeah, of course it's the place to go. I love Walmart. My baseball player hates Walmart.
I don't like Walmart's either.
I love Walmart.
But I think travelers love Walmart.
We're doing this live from Walmart.
Here we go. We should.
Travelers love Walmart?
Yes. Why? Because they have their trailers. And they're trailers. Yeah, okay, trailers. Yeah. So
yeah. Well, Walmart got parking for them, or just
yeah. So they let people park there and sleep overnight.
I didn't know that.
Why? Because when they wake up in the morning,
they need stuff inside.
Walmart's open. With usually McDonald's is in there too.
Yeah.
So come on in, get your coffee, get your McMuffin, and
grab your shampoo and other stuff. And
yeah,
I love it.
I know.
Let's take a trailer to New York.
It's like a new thing. Let's take a trailer to New York.
You got a tent? Let's camp.
I do have a tent.
I got everything for camping.
We just packed it away.
I got a stove and everything. I got a toaster.
You got a toaster? What kind of toaster?
The one that sits on and you open the things up and put your bread on it.
Oh, perfect.
I got it all, man.
That's awesome.
I'm a crazy camper.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
All right, we're out of time. What are we doing next week?
We're going to do an idea that JD had, and that's the medley show.
All right, the medley show.
Can we just do like two songs, like Livin' Lovin' Maid and...
No, you can be anything.
Okay.
I mean, we don't have to play the big lengthy things, but we'll talk about medleys because there's some lengthy medleys around.
Well, that's because there's more than one song in it. Is that what we're listening to now, Mountain?
No, that's something you got on tap for today, Wasted on the Way.
Oh, Wasted on the Way, yes, that's David Crosby, huge drug dude. Oh my God, I read...
Huge dude, period.
Well, he was a big dude, he's not so big now. And it's interesting how he just bloated up while he was on drugs. Mm-hmm. That was the whole thing. When he was bloated, he was on drugs. You look at Stephen Stills, he's still bloated, he's still on drugs. So these guys, they knew how to give her. And they did it all for fun, mostly.
What was the name of the band? Elp?
CSN, David Crosby, someone really dear in his life died, and that's when he went over the edge.
I'm thinking of Elmer. I get him mixed up with Elmerson, Lake and Palmer.
The LP.
There we go. Have a great week.
Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
The car. Running rings around the way it used to be. I am older now. I have more than what I wanted, but I wish that I had started long before I did. And there's so much time to make up. did you envy all the dancers who have all the nerve? Look around you now. You must go for what you wanted. Look at all my friends who did and got what they deserve. So much time to make up everywhere you turn. Time we have wasted on the way. Let the water come and carry us away. So much love to make up everywhere you turn. Love we have wasted on the way. So much water moving underneath the bridge. Come and carry us away. Let the water come and carry us away.
Join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.